Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
All right, it's After Hours. Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, Blake Schneiders here with you for another hour. We're going to get to the out of left field question in just a second. Mac, you said this is a text? Or this is... No, this is not a text. You said that I need to... We were talking about Arch Manning. Talking about college football. You said Alan Bowman was granted another year of eligibility. It's his eighth season. And what year was he the same class of?
He is expected to stay with the Oklahoma State Cowboys, and he was in the same high school class as Trevor Lawrence.
How long has he been in the league now, Trevor Lawrence? 5 years now?
Yeah.
Alan Bowman's still playing college football, baby. That's
still, you know, doing keg stands at frat houses. Way to go, Alan.
That is wild.
This guy's my age. Eighth year? Start 18?
Do you feel like you could play college football right now, Mac?
You know, hey, with a couple months of workouts, give me some two-a-days. I don't know, man. I'll lean out.
We need to have our own combine, which I guess the station had a few years ago. I was not here
for
that.
I'll be your trainer, Mac.
Thank you, Blake.
I got you, buddy.
I appreciate that, man.
I'll put you through the ringer.
Yes.
That being said, let's get to our out-of-left-field question.
Let's do it.
And that out of left field question, as Mac told you before the break, what piece of memorabilia would you want to own? It could be sports related, it could be movie related, it could be TV show related. What piece of sports memorabilia, movie memorabilia, TV show memorabilia, just memorabilia in general? You want like a throwback, like an old school car, like a 69 Mustang or something like that? What would you want? From the 816, already a couple of texts in, 913-586-7965. For the 816, I think it'd have to be some Star Wars memorabilia.
Ooh.
Or something from New Hope or Empire. Maybe a Jordan rookie card. Jordan rookie card has got to be probably, in terms of the levels of value, one of the most valuable pieces of memorabilia you could probably get.
Oh, absolutely.
Sports-wise in particular. I don't know how many things
amazing.
Could be that.
That'd be a good one. That's a good one.
From the 816, this person has a signed baseball glove from the 93 Royals team, but it's missing one signature, and that's George Brett's. Hey, you know what?
816.
I'm going to have to see if I don't know. I don't know George Brett, but there's got to be a way, Mac, that you and I can pull some strings, maybe.
We
got
to figure out how to help you out, bro.
I used to clean his pool.
I could
probably ask him.
All right.
Are you serious?
100%.
That's really cool.
That's dope.
Two years ago, I used to clean George Brett's pool.
There you go. Hey, Blake's going to go help him out with his chlorine, and then in the meanwhile, I ask you if ask for a signature, okay?
For the 816, are we sure this isn't Joe Burrow, a Batmobile?
Ooh, topical. $2.9 million, is that what you said, for the Batmobile?
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
He's got to be single. I think he broke up with
the video was dope because he was like, have I told you guys that I got a Batmobile? And he was telling that to T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. And they were both clowning around.
Like, what?
From the 913, Rocky's boxing robe from the original movie with the Meat Locker logo
on
it.
That's cool.
Nice.
That's great.
Very thoughtful.
Both movie memorabilia and great sports memorabilia.
Yes, and great sports. Two in one. Nice, dude.
Mac, what would you say your piece of memorabilia is? Like, I guess anything.
Man, there's just so many good options. DeLorean from Back to the Future comes to mind.
That's a good one.
That's one of the first ones that comes to mind for me. Yep. I just love Back to the Future. Sports-wise, I mean, I'm fortunate enough to have a signed Travis Kelce jersey. That makes me happy. I have a signed Mahomes and Lynn Dawson photo. But, I mean, like someone said to the same point, MJ rookie card, a Mahomes rookie card, that'd be pretty sick.
Mm.
That'd be pretty cool. So that'd be kind of it for me. I mean, there's probably something Celtic, something NBA could find some serious interest in. I'm trying to think of another movie. I don't know, Blake, what do you have?
So I have some pretty interesting memorabilia already.
Okay.
I don't have a large category, but I've got a couple. So one of them is a Fran Tarkenton signed football.
Oh, interesting.
Just a throwback. Like, that's pretty cool. And then my favorite one is it's my dad's, but obviously it'll be passed down to me. Jesse Owens' autograph from 1975.
That's sick. That's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that's very dope.
It's a picture of him coming out the starting blocks in Berlin. It's awesome.
Flex.
Yeah. If I had to pick one, I'm going with either the chair that Satchel Paige used to sit in
okay.
in the bullpen. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this picture of him.
I like that.
It was a great reclining chair. Or I would love to have the picture of the 101 points from Wilt Chamberlain signed. Well, obviously, probably not signed.
Ah, the infamous.
There's a whole conspiracy theory around that.
Oh, there is a huge. It is a big topic in our group chat. If it ever happened.
Did it happen?
I did talk to my grandfather the other day and asked him about it, and he says it was in the paper, and he remembers the day that it was in the paper, but that doesn't mean that it happened.
We know that Kobe got 82. That's all I'm going to say. We know that Kobe got 82.
It's true.
We can count all of them. Somebody said Pee-wee's bike.
Pee-wee. Pee-wee.
I love Pee-wee.
Frank the Tank streaming shoes, or streaking shoes. From the old school. Somebody said Mahomes' broken helmet. It's a good one.
That's a good one.
Steph Curry's mouthpiece. Relax. I don't know about that. Yeah.
Gross.
Chill.
From the 816, I like this. I have a framed Kansas City Kings poster. I'll never sell it.
Wow. That's
awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Bring the Kings back. Bring them back. Come on, guys.
Someone said, since you dissed him out of the gate, I want Will Levis's mayonnaise jar from his commercial. That's my dad texting, and I believe, from the 765. Dead serious. I think it's my dad. I think I would want the Kramer picture from Seinfeld.
Ooh,
I love me some Seinfeld. Just a random picture on the wall. Of course, you know, the moment where he's just looking at himself, and it's a very funny.
Yes.
Speck's more of a Seinfeld. He's more like diehard than I am, but the best sitcom of all time is Seinfeld. That also is a debatable thing, but
yeah, that's fair.
Seinfeld's goated.
No, Seinfeld's great. I like Seinfeld. I haven't seen like a whole lot of it, but I've seen enough to know it's
from,
great.
I'd want something from Seinfeld. I think that would be. I love that show.
Something like Ceilings from Dusty, but it's one of my favorite shows too. Walter White's Hat.
Nice.
Breaking Bad. That's a good one, man. That's maybe my favorite show of all time.
I like it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Dwight Schrute's Bobblehead.
Ooh, that's a perfect one. Bears beats Battlestar Galactica.
So sports-wise memorabilia, I guess I've already kind of started this collection. So I have probably 10 or 11 mascot statues. So they have NFL ones, they have NHL ones, they have MLB ones, they have college ones. I've only got college ones. They don't do all of the teams that are in the FBS level, so I can't technically collect all. I can collect all of them, but it's not all the teams. But they're like mascot statues that are about, you know, this high, maybe like a foot tall.
Oh, okay.
And they're like stone statues. I've got 12 of them.
Damn.
In my, I got a picture of it somewhere, like in my desk at home, essentially. I do not have any locals yet, so I would need to get, I don't know which one I would get first, Missouri, KU, or K-State. Don't have any of them yet. I feel like I should get three of those three, so when we start doing a video podcast next year, 249 miles of college football podcast, we can have those as a part of the deal.
What about the infamous Babe Ruth bat from his called shot game?
Be a good one.
Yeah,
that's got to be.
It's a good one.
Oh, I bet it's one of the most valuable.
If it's ever even been found.
Yeah, I wonder, yeah.
I mean, how would you be able to tell? I mean, how would you authenticate that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rookie Michael Jordan card from our previous texture. I'm just looking at this one on eBay. $299,099. So if you're in the market for that, 816, there you go.
Somebody said from the 913, the Ass Man license plate that Kramer had from Seinfeld. That's also a very good one. I'm the Ass Man. Hey, Ass Man. Yeah. Such a good episode.
The Shohei Ohtani ball. I think that would be an amazing memorabilia to have.
I think it would, to me, it would have to be something like that, where you're like a game winner, something along those lines, like of a team that you rooted for. Like, okay, for instance, I know this is a hypothetical, but if Gordon Hayward makes that three-pointer from half court and they beat Duke, then give me that.
Absolutely. That game ball. Oh, that's a good one.
You know.
My brother caught a game ball last playoffs at the Miami Dolphins Chiefs game that was the negative 20 degrees. My brother was in the front row. Tua threw a ball that usually, you know, just goes out of bounds. He, for some reason, showed the most arm strength he ever has in his life. He doesn't have much of it. And it soared to the first row, and my brother caught it. Let him keep the ball. So he's got a He's got a playoff football that was thrown by Tua, so he's got to get that signed.
That's pretty sick.
That's pretty sick, man. Yeah,
no, that's
pretty
very,
awesome,
that's
dude.
Very dope.
Kevin Harlan was like, oh, and the big Chiefs fan. He's not a big man at all.
I am a NASCAR guy, so I got to shout this one out. From the 816, there's websites that sell race-used sheet metal from NASCAR races. A Dale Jr. number 8
Whoa.
Budweiser Fender would be dope.
Whoa.
Yes, it absolutely
that's
would be.
That's sick.
The Fenders, there's some, like a NASCAR races, some random crap gets left behind that, and used stuff that gets sold, and it's technically useless, but it's very good, like man cave esque, like
to have like the champagne signs. Bottles from Carl Edwards or something.
Oh yeah, that would be very very cool as well.
From the 913 Marlin Man's jersey, it's a good one. Lawrence Levy, he's a good guy.
I was gonna say
friend of the show, Fesco and Dusty.
See, I didn't realize that you guys actually had him on the show. I walked in and I was like, it's Marlin's man. Like, what the heck? Like, Marlin's here. Like,
man.
I didn't realize it. And Cody was like, yeah, they just had him on the show. I was like, really? No way. That's crazy.
Yeah, good guy. Good guy.
The Happy Gilmore putter, I think, would be cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
a good one.
Framed,
good
like, one. Up on the wall.
Absolutely.
Now that I think about it, like, Tiger Woods, like you know how they sometimes they win majors and throw the golf ball away? Or, like, they toss the golf ball? 100%. That'd be a dope one to have as well. A very good one.
His red Sunday winning jersey. Or his, not jersey, polo, but his polo.
Yeah, it's a good one. That is the out of left field question. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for KC Sports. Up next, we are going to talk about the Chargers a little bit more because, yes, the Kansas City Chiefs play them on Sunday night. What's your biggest concern with the LA Chargers this weekend? Mac and I and Blake are going to discuss it next. Again, it's After Hours. Don't go anywhere. It's 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
We're back here for After Hours. Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, Blake Schneiders here on 96.5 The Fan. To give you an update on the KU score, it's a really great night in college hoops. Tonight, number one Kansas down 30-20 on the road in Omaha against the Creighton Blue Jays. Under 5 minutes left to go in the first half. Still plenty of time for the Jayhawks, but they are down currently in the first half. Missouri Tigers look good as well for college hoops. Of course, this is pre-conference play. Didn't win a single conference game last year. We'll see if they can turn it around. They got a good young group of players. K-State, a little bit iffy to start off with, but plenty of time to bounce back for the Cats. As well, and get themselves back to the NCAA tournament. But told you going into the break, we were going to talk about the Chargers game a little bit. What's the biggest concern for you, 913-586-7965, going into this one? Are you concerned at all against the LA Chargers? Again, they are in the playoff race. They're 8-4. The Chiefs obviously currently holding the number one seed. A win for the Chiefs would help get them closer to securing the number one seed. Other than left tackle, I think we've already talked about left tackle a little bit as well. Is it the corners? Is it another position group potentially, whether it be on offense or defense? 913-586-7965. Mac, you're going to take the corners, and I'll let you take over in just a second. I'm going to say in the defensive side of things, but I'm going to go the linebacker side of things that talked about. We're not talking about the linebackers enough.
I like this. This is good.
And it's not necessarily because of the matchup, particularly against the Chargers, because Will Dissly, I believe, is
Will Dissly
is the tight end. Not the biggest name, but I wonder how much we miss Willie Gay. This hasn't been brought up, I don't think, enough. As we obviously talk about Legarius Sneed and Jalen Watson, and we talk about Nick Bolton's struggles and Drew Tranquil. Louis Chanel is not playing as much over the last few weeks, but Willie Gay and his ability in the coverage, you know, has been, I think, maybe not overlooked necessarily, but it hasn't been a focal point because the pass rush has struggled so much, because the secondary has struggled so much. Like, how about the absence of Willie Gay, I think, has impacted this defense a little bit more than what we may think. From the 913, a little bit concerned about the pass rush as well. But Mac, you're a little bit concerned about the corners based on how the last few weeks have gone as a part of the season compared to where they are before.
First off, I think it's a great point with the linebackers, and I think they're pretty tangential. I think they are connected, the secondary, that is, and the linebackers, because, you know, you look at earlier this season, we're talking about Leo Chenal and his dynamic abilities to play on the line and outside and inside. And he's good at, you know, that QB sneak rule a little bit, but he can also get down and dirty and plug that A gap against a big running back. That's great. That's great and all. Drew Tranquil last year was fantastic in the pass coverage. He hasn't been. Nick Bolton, that's never been his strong suit. He's more of a sideline to sideline run stopper. Willie Gay was that other one, along with Drew Tranquil, who could go with a tight end, who could go with a running back, who could maybe even be put on that hook, curl, flat zone sort of option and been kind of let out in an island and
also
been
a reliable tackler.
And a very reliable tackler at a good size. And they don't have that right now. For whatever reason, Drew Tranquil has not been what he was last year in pass coverage. Nick Bolton's never had it. And Leo Chenal doesn't have the speed or the agility to be able to ever do that at a high enough level of the Chiefs need. So I agree with you. That is something that I don't think will get better this season, and Spags will have to figure out ways to hide it, to disguise it. And to me, we've mentioned it. It's more nickel coverage. It's more Jaden Hicks. It's more of Jamari Connor. It's more of having a guy up in the box who can move side to side as a safety. So that is a problem with me. And
Jamari's struggled with tackling too a little bit as well.
Jamari's been rough. I saw some stats on him earlier today. I think it's 14, the last 15 times he's been targeted, it's 14 completions, it's 140 yards, and it's two touchdowns. Jamari Connor has been barbecue chicken. Yikes. Like, we would love to talk about number 13. Listen, and that's fair. Nazee Johnson needs to be discussed from time to time. Jamari Connor has to step up, has to step up, and he has to be able to tackle in the open field. And that brings me to the pass defense of the secondary. DVOA. Not everyone loves DVO, but it takes a bunch of stats that you probably do like and combines them all together to mean more. That's what I think DVOA has, okay? So let's talk about it. Week 1 through 7, their pass defense was ranked 4th among DVOA. Weeks 8 through 13th, 29th. From 4th to 29th.
Steep fall.
Yes. A cliff.
Wow.
A cliff for this pass defense. And that has to change. We've seen it from the text line. Absolutely. The pass rush, linebackers, it's all connected, right? Everything has to work together, but it starts out there in those corners and those second and those safeties. So Justin Reed, Connor, Nazee Johnson, and hey, you said it before the show, and I'll say it now. Number 22, McDuffie, is not without fault here either. He's been burned. Yeah. Whether it's Brock Bowers, whether it's Cortland Sutton, David Moore for the Panthers having a day, Shakir with 8 or 9 catches. It's not just been, you know, everyone but McDuffie. It's been him too. So that is the biggest concern to me. Positive side, McConkey plays in the slot. McDuffie is primarily a better slot corner. Hopefully Spags sees that and just has him on in the slot against McConkey the whole game. I would love that.
No, yeah, I think it's interesting when you bring up McDuffie, because you look at Brock Bowers, of course, bigger guy, tight end.
Yep.
Freak of an athlete. You look at Cortland Sutton, big guy. Freak of an athlete.
Very good athlete.
So
underrated player.
I don't know. It's not necessarily something that's a trend. I don't want to make it seem like it's a really big deal, but I do wonder if him facing bigger guys, like if that's something down the stretch. George Pickens, bigger guy, capable of adjusting to passes. I wonder, you know, how is he going to match up against George Pickens? Even when they have to go against Keon Coleman, big guy. I know he's a rookie. I think Trent will have his way a little bit with him more, but Keon Coleman, big guy. Adjust to the football well.
Yep.
I wonder if that's not necessarily a weak point for Trent McDuffie, but that's a spot where he actually can be beat compared to him just being in regular coverage against other guys like Jamar Chase, who are strong, but they're smaller guys. Lab McConkey, et cetera.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, I think Jalen Watson's missed. Blake, where are you at with this?
I don't know if it's so much of a concern, but I have a big question mark, and it could be very positive or very negative, especially if we think McDuffie is going to be all over McConkey in this upcoming game, is Joshua Williams. Looked a lot better last week.
He did.
I want to see if this is going to be a big confidence boost if he has a good game against Quentin Johnson, somebody who doesn't really look that great, but is still
bigger
a problem.
Body guy too.
Big body guy, exactly. He falls right into that category. Now, so is Josh Williams. I think he's 6'3".
6'2 or 6'3". 6'2, 6'3",
long arms. Yep. He can lock guys down. We've seen him do it before. He had some trouble earlier this year, but the question mark for me is, how is that matchup going to go for him? And I think if he does good, it's going to be a huge confidence boost in play going forward.
Well, I'll be honest. This is like the last gasp, because you can't trust Nazee Johnson to be regularly, like, not that he's bad,
But you're not putting him on an island.
He's not bad on a regular basis, but you're going to have to help him. Like, Joshua Williams has had his moments of, eh, I don't know about this. But he's like the last stand of, they're not going to go and get anybody in free agency, at least right now. Who there's nobody out there.
Patrick Peterson, but we're not. That's,
No,
he's too old.
He's old and slow.
I'm just saying.
Or Xavier Howard. He obviously has his whole situation that he's got going on off the field. But
he just worked out with the Cowboys today.
And
that makes sense.
He previously.
It does.
He's visited with other teams as well. Hasn't come to anything. But, I mean, that's like your last, like, that's like your desperation moment there. If Joshua Williams doesn't work out. I think to your point, Blake, I'm interested to see how it goes because I've been on the bandwagon of, I think they're just going to ride it out with Nazi and just see how it goes. Because I thought, not that they were past Joshua Williams, but I thought that they were kind of beyond that because they tried it. And he didn't show himself in camp, but him being a bigger bodied guy, kind of like Jalen Watson, but not being able to, you know,
inconsistencies,
I guess, match what Jalen Watson was able to give on a regular basis is your concern with Joshua Williams, where he looks good in spurts. It'll be interesting to see how he looks not only with this game, but then the following game and the following game. Like, I want to see him tie games together and not just have it for one little speck of, hey, this is 25 snaps. You're going to come in for Nazi Johnson, who was benched. Do your thing. Does really well for 25 snaps. I want to see it week in, week out. Where okay, now maybe we actually have a guy at corner two who's better than, who doesn't have to get help every time, who can be put on an island and maybe give up a catch every now and then, but they're not barbecue chicken.
That's why I think this could be a confidence game for him. If he's on Johnson, I just think with how inconsistent he is, and sometimes it seems like his arms don't work.
Drop city.
Yeah. There's a potential that Josh Williams could have a lockdown game. And if he chooses to do that, this would be a great, again, confidence boost.
It would make
the secondary feel just better as a whole.
One, it would help that pass rush, which has been mentioned from the 913 in the text line. And he mentions, you know, the secondary is real. I don't want to negate that concern, but that just highlights how much more important the pass rush is. Mm. So those things work together. We saw Charles Omenihu last week get his first snaps back. Seemed like he was pretty good. Had some juice, had some burst, didn't get a bunch of work. Josh Uche.
Then he needs to play more.
I don't know where he is. He's not on the field.
He needs to play more.
I don't think that's going to be this week. Hopefully Uche does get it. Integrated more to this defense. I don't think we'll see him more this weekend, though.
Is there anything on the offensive side of the ball that is, you know, it concerns you?
I mean,
is there anything on offense that
the deep ball, the lack of explosive plays,
still
the lack of explosive plays? Absolutely, they're still last in the league as far as explosive play rate. The last amazing deep ball that we saw from this Chiefs team was Week 4 against the Los Angeles Chargers. Mm. It was Patrick Mahomes' best throw of the season, 45-50 yard dot. For a touchdown to number one. That's what we're going to see this weekend. DJ Humphries is going to help this all click. And absolutely, the explosive plays have to come back for this team to do what they want to do, to three-peat. They have to. And it doesn't need to be 2019 scoring 50 points a game. It doesn't need to be Mahomes throwing for 5,050. But that threat of, hey, at any point I can launch a 35, 40-yard dot on you again. Hey, Pacheco can rip off a 20-yard run. They don't have that sort of threat. 4, 5, 6-yard chunks are great. 5, 6, 7-minute drives are fantastic. You need those to win games. You need those to close out tough opponents. But at the end of the day, against a Buffalo, against a Baltimore, and my God, New Orleans against Detroit or against a Philadelphia, you have to have those 35, 40-yard bombs. And that's going to be from Xavier Worthy and hopefully Hollywood Brown.
If we're taking the left tackle out of the equation, I'll be honest, right tackle also is concerning to me. If we're going specifically left tackle, Juwan Taylor at times is due for a penalty because of illegal formation or a hold, or he's just straight up getting beat as well. And, you know, he's at his moments, not as bad. Like, thank goodness, it's I guess for him it's kind of nice that Wanye has been playing because
takes all the pressure off of him.
There's been no real conversation about
he's not the spotlight
about Juwan Taylor at all anymore. Yeah,
he needs to step up too. You're right. He needs to step up because it's not just the penalties now. And now it's also the blocking.
913-586-7965. Before we go on a break from the 417, kind of off topic, but I'm curious when we're going to hear from the NFL about Rashee Rice's suspension. That's not going to come until like
his court date,
like August of next year, until the suspension is announced, right?
His court date's this month, and then you'll have to hear a few months after that. I mean, we're off season
from that. And the fact that he's hurt now, they're not going to suspend him while he's hurt because...
No, exactly. So you won't hear about that till next year. But we could get a better estimation based on what happens legally, and we will know more about that in the next month or two.
Facts.
One last thing. It's not so much a concern because they've been doing it well all year, but I was a little disappointed in the run game last week. It seemed like the line could not get Kareem going at all.
Yeah, they seem
to be eat up pretty well, especially against the Raiders team, who you should be able to run on pretty successfully. They did it the first time around in Vegas. They couldn't do it this past week, and I think that gave them or kind of forced their hand to have to pass a lot more.
And you talk about good defenses, too. The Chargers have one of those good defenses. So, yeah, definitely, I think, a valid concern as well. Before we go into break, going into halftime now, Creighton is up on Kansas 41-31 at the break. Again, number one, Kansas down 10 at halftime. When we come back, do we have a quarterback problem in the league? Who is the top quarterback this year in the draft? We're going to talk some Shedeur Sanders. Is he enough to help things? Is Cam Ward enough to help things? Or are we still going to see, you know, Will Levis playing quarterback for the Tennessee Titans next year? We'll talk about that next. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
NBA Street Volume 2 vibes from Blake coming back from break. Drew Nixon, Mag Morey, Blake Schneiders here with you for the next 20 minutes or so. So we're talking about, it's like college, but also it's like NFL. Like, do we have a quarterback problem in the NFL? We're going to start off with the NFL first, Mac, and then we'll talk about some of the quarterbacks in the upcoming draft, notably Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. But maybe, I don't think you want to include Carson Beck or Quinn Ewers in this conversation in regards to the top overall pick, certainly, but they're going to be in the discussion. 913-586-7965. Do we have a quarterback problem in the NFL where you look at guys like Danny Dimes, who is now no longer playing, of course, but you have Will Levis. You have the Browns' whole situation with Jameis starting. You just can run down the line almost of teams. Bryce Young for a little bit, but he's been looking better. Is there like a bottom tier quarterback problem, Mac, where there's just not enough good quarterbacks coming out of these drafts or of the NFL drafts to make up for the problems or the lack thereof talent wise at the quarterback position?
I mean, I think at the very least we have a development problem with these quarterback talents. These teams, these franchises, these organizations are not catering to these talents' capabilities, to these prospects' strengths. And I think that is having an effect on the product that we see from quarterbacks and especially young quarterbacks. And it's been something that I've hit on a lot with not having patience and not giving these guys time to develop and make mistakes and go through the trials and tribulations that a quarterback has to do. It's the hardest position in all of sports, not just in football. And so it takes time to get better. But I also think if you look at what one of these college quarterbacks are doing right now, it seems like, you know, NFL has to be malleable. These offensive coordinators and these head coaches have to be able to cater to what these guys can do. But for colleges, man, they've got to get some of these guys doing some stuff that is translatable to the pro style game. Because Shedeur Sanders, he's the most pro style. You know,
him and Cam Ward, I think, are the most like it's
pro
those two
style,
and it's nobody else.
Pro ready. But even those two guys, to me, in my opinion, and you can tell me that I'm wrong here, Drew, those guys are going to take time. Those are not guys that step in and play well right off the bat. To me, no, I'm not like that's a season. That's a year away. To me, anyways,
I think for Cam Ward, it's not necessarily a problem with Cam Ward, but I think it's more of Shador's ready, I think, than. Not that Cam Ward isn't, but along the lines of Cam Ward being a little bit older, you know, not that we haven't seen guys succeed, but he almost has like the Penix track. He hasn't dealt with the injuries that Penix has. But I think to your point about like having to wait, I wonder if that's like the path for Cam Ward more than like I think Shedeur will be able to jump in and play. He just needs a good offensive line. Because I think for him to be able to go through what he did at Colorado and still be able to get the ball, I think there's some work. Like, there's going to be some bumps and bruises. He's not like a generational prospect. But I think that Shedeur will be able to play right away. Of course, it always depends on, like, when you look at where are they going, situation, and all of that stuff. Like, if you think the Raiders, if they take Shador, I think Shador starts week one, and I think he's not necessarily great, but I think he's ready to go. Cam Ward, I don't know as much maybe with Cam Ward. I know he's been really good. It's hard to tell, though, with college because, like, Cam Ward's putting up ridiculous numbers in college. He's been ridiculously good. But we see guys that put up great college numbers and can't do anything in the NFL. So it's hard to, I don't know if it's a talent problem. 913-586-7965. Someone from the 913 says there's a talent problem overall, not just QBs.
I disagree with that. Personally.
I don't know about overall.
Yeah, because like wide receivers, I mean, my God, there's so much talent there.
For the quarterback stuff, because you think how often, like every year, how many teams need a quarterback every year? At least three or four probably on a regular basis. There's not enough most year. Like there were three this year, four this year that are starting. But there's still bumps and bruises like for Drake. Like this is considered a really good draft class.
Great draft
class. And they're just covering the four that need him.
Oh,
most of the time, you're not getting the amount of guys that are ready in the first round to play right away. So I think it's a talent problem kind of for the NFL, but it's almost, I don't know if it's development as much as, because the college game is so much different from the NFL game, and I don't know if it's ever going to blend itself.
Well, at some point, Drew, because I think this is a good exercise, and I know we got to get out of here, so we should do it tomorrow, because we'll be with you guys tomorrow right here on 96.5 from 7 to 9. We should do a redraft for the top 10 picks, because I think Michael Penix would go in the same spot. I think the Falcons would take him again.
Yeah.
Because to what we're saying, there's not a guy this year. There's not even really a guy next year unless you love Arch Manning. So the Falcons thought ahead, and now they've got their guy of the future potentially when really there wasn't one in the mill, in the hopper.
They probably wish there was a way to get out of that Kirk Cousins contract just so they can try to give Penix some run.
There is after next season. They have to do one more year to really financially for it to make sense. But we'll see what they do. See what they do.
Certainly will be interesting. Speaking of quarterbacks sliding. Yes, we're going to talk about the Trevor Lawrence thing. Aziz Al-Shaahir is doubling down on his decision to go after Trevor Lawrence. The apology, that probably wasn't very sincere. We'll tell you why next right here on After Hours. It's 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, Blake Schneiders, who is a Drake fan, evidently. Are you Drake or Kendrick? I would assume you're Drake then.
No, I'm actually Team Kendrick. But good. I like,
me too.
I got no hate for either of them, but I like Kendrick more.
This is his best album, by the way, Drake's. It's better than Take Care.
My argument is Thank Me Later. His first one ever was the best one, to my opinion. But, you know, we're not here to talk rap.
Matter of taste. Don't make matter of taste matter of fact.
I mean, we can. It's After Hours. We can do whatever.
That's true. That's true. We could do that. I don't care.
913-586-7965. Be a part of the conversation. So the quarterback sliding stuff, we know that people are on the fence more about this than I thought there would be, because to me, I understand Trevor Lawrence is just trying to slide, and yes, it was bang, bang. But Aziz Al-Shaahir, to me, he raised his forearm, went through Trevor Lawrence. He could have easily backed off and just kind of, it wouldn't have been a hit. You know, he hit Trevor Lawrence. You can avoid hitting a guy. You just run into him more or less is what it would look like. He hit him. Mac, do you have the tweet up or did you retweet it? I can find it if you want me to, but Mac, during one of the breaks, let me get this. And this pulls perfectly into the conversation, because this is where I want to go to, because the conversation originally was going to be about sliding, but in particular with Aziz Al-Shaahir, I don't think he is genuine about his apology, because he was suspended originally 3 games by the NFL. I was like, if he appeals, I don't think he means his apology. He is then appealing it, but now, even furthermore, we see comments from the GMs and D'Amico Ryans and all this stuff, but Aziz Al-Shaahir, Mac, you can read the tweet. He followed up, or rather on Instagram, with a post. And what was that post again?
Post is, if you want me to be your villain, I'll be your villain. Middle finger emoji.
Yo.
See you soon. And then it's a picture of the Joker. It's a picture of his cleats that say free. It's another picture that says there is a beauty in being rejected, misunderstood, unseen, and unprotected by people. It teaches you to rely on Allah for everything. So, yeah, he's going into his feels. He's getting into his spiritual thing. Brother, you made a dirty play. You made 3 dirty plays this season. You finally got ejected and suspended for it, and the consequences paid you paid the piper, man. I don't know what else to say.
You want me to be the villain. This wasn't you being the villain. Excuse me? This wasn't you being the villain? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, exactly. Because that's scary. I mean, you spoke to the GM, Nick Caserio. This is what he had to say on the matter and on the suspension.
Some of the commentary that has been made about his character, about the person that he is, about what his intentions are, from people that, quite frankly, don't know anything about Aziz Alshaier, okay? And that for the league to make some of the commentary that he made about lack of sportsmanship, lack of coachability, lack of paying attention to the rules, quite frankly, it's embarrassing. So I think the big thing from our – and I talk about a player who's never been suspended, never been ejected. So now we're saying that he's going to be suspended for 3 games?
He's been suspended now, so now he has been
suspended. And again, there's been 2 other instances this season where he's been the culprit in hurting someone in what has been considered a dirty hit.
Well, previously we had Vontaze Burfict, and it looks like in a way we, in terms of like a villain, because Vontaze Burfict, I think, became that after the Antonio Brown situation was escalated it to a certain degree. Sometimes, you know, you're just not necessarily a dirty player, but you have moments where it's like, dang, man, this guy goes a little bit too hard. You know, he's a bit over aggressive in the way that he pursues tackles. He does too much. You know, he's doing too much. Sometimes that you go to the extreme in a situation, and maybe you're not intending for it to happen, but your over aggressiveness can get you in a really bad spot that looks really, really bad and it's dangerous. Vontaze Burfict, very over aggressive. He's a really good linebacker, but he's over aggressive, turned into an extremely dirty play on Antonio Brown. That's what he's known for now. This is what is kind of happening to Aziz Alshaier, where I think the GM is kind of on the point of, you don't know who he is. Like, I understand. Like, I'm sure he didn't intend to hit Trevor Lawrence, but he's been over aggressive to the point
I think he didn't
to the point of committing penalties. I think he wanted to hit Trevor Lawrence. I don't think he wanted to injure him, but he wanted to hit him and hit him hard.
Yeah.
Over aggressive, a little bit dirty play. This is where it's now getting to the point of, hey, the league had to do something because of all the conversation around it. And unfortunately, not very many other people are doing what you're doing, Aziz Alshaier. Not many people are going overboard in that situation. So yes, you're kind of used as the example in this scenario, which unfortunately is getting you suspended. And yes, it's making you look like the bad guy, but until you change your behavior and how you play on the field, you're going to be that guy.
The NFL, in my opinion, does have a consistency issue with these suspensions, with these ejections.
It's definitely inconsistent.
It's inconsistent. We need to get some more written regulations done. Okay, this is what you need to do to get suspended. This is what happens. This is what will happen if, you know, you get ejected. Whatever it is, there needs to be kind of a rubric for how this works. Also, QB sliding, there probably does need to be a rule instituted about, okay, fake sliding, fake going out of bounds. I don't think it's as big of a deal as everyone's making it out to be. I only seen Mahomes do it once, maybe twice, as far as going out of bounds, and I've seen him fake slide once last season. I haven't seen any other quarterbacks really be a huge issue with this. I know Kenny Pickett did it, I think, last year.
In college.
Kenny Pickett's the big one from college.
At college. That was crazy. And that kind of sparked the discussion pretty early on a few years ago. But now here we are back to this.
I think the thing about Trevor Lawrence, about Patrick Mahomes, and it's interesting because Max Crosby apparently was on a podcast. Like, Mahomes was asked about it today. Crosby, he wasn't alluding it to, it didn't sound like he was alluding to the Trevor Lawrence situation as much as the out of bounds thing. Like, Max Crosby was talking about, yeah, on the sideline, he kind of bends the rules a little bit. I think I understand where Max Crosby is coming from, because you don't want to hit the quarterback, but you also want to be able to get the guy out of bounds, where if they fake something or if they're easing up, like, Mahomes could ease up a little bit and it looked like he's going out, but continue to just keep on going if you wanted to. And if for a defender, you're in a bit of a tough spot. I get where Max Crosby's coming from. However, I think sometimes with Patrick Mahomes' side of things, it's smarter in regards to what Patrick does, where he's like pump faking with the pass and everything like that. It makes it more creative in regards to what Patrick Mahomes is doing, I think, more in terms of him bending the rules. I don't think Trevor Lawrence was doing that. Trevor Lawrence was just going down like normal.
Sliding. It was just a bad hit. And I don't like the situation in general, because to your point about the sideline thing, what I think that needs to come down to is actually the referees taking a look at it. Because if you're going to go to the sideline like that, then you have to be able to throw the flag or know that, hey, even though it looked like it was out of bounds, he wasn't. He's a runner at that point. Let him play football. That has to be a referee decision at that point. I don't like that they're like, well, we're going to just take away running towards the sidelines and kind of faking.
Like that seems ridiculous to me.
I do, and that's where I think, I mean, whether it's Patrick Mahomes, it could be really any player technically who could kind of bend the rules in that way where, like, a running back, like Derrick Henry going to the sideline, like if he steps 1 foot out of bounds or it looks like he's about to go out and he hits the guy, it's fine. And it's not a problem where the rules get a little bit, not bent necessarily, but it's a little bit more touch and go with the quarterback position. But that is the way that the league is makes it harder on defenders. It all kind of goes back to that, not rule shift, but the offensive infatuation that we have
with the way
that the game is. I think it makes it tough on defenders regardless of the situation, which of course is unfortunate.
It is, and I don't know if there's a perfect, I don't think there is a perfect solution here.
No.
Because I don't know how you judge a fake slide, or I don't know how you judge, oh, he really wasn't going out of bounds, or he was going out of bounds. You could get super messy and really screw this up. And I hope they don't do that, but my prediction is there will be some sort of change. We'll just have to see what it is, Drew.
That's going to do it for us. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. For Mac, for Blake, I am Drew. We're going to be back at it tomorrow for 2 hours. Catch us at 7 o'clock right after Players Only from 7 to 9. Again, been After Hours. It's been fun. We'll catch you tomorrow. Till then, peace.
Listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.